and good morning. It's good to see everybody. Get the clicker working here a little bit. Want to welcome again everybody who's visiting with us. Have a little bit of a different format today. If you're a visitor, normally we have our regular, one of our two evangelists preaching for us, but today you've got two elders doing an annual address, at least the second part of an annual address. So what we're talking about as a focus for the year, a focus for 2018, is maturity in Christ, maturity in ourselves. What does it mean to be mature? And today we're specifically talking about maturity in the body. But I'm going to have some opening comments to sort of frame the conversation today and then drill down into maturity in the body in particular. So as our theme for the year, striving for maturity, continues this Sunday, let's remember where we began last Sunday morning, where two of our elders began this theme, one discussing striving for maturity in the Word, and one in maturity in the family. And we want to reiterate a key theme, a key point that came out last week. Anything said today is said in love. Anything said today is said for the good of the group and for the good of the individual. So please take that in the spirit that it is intended. For those of you visiting with us, and this idea is a little different for you, please remember that the body of Christ is a family. And in all families, there are things that are going well, and there are things that need attention. And we're going to be dealing with a lot of different things today. So we appreciate your attention, and we appreciate your focus. It is beyond belief that we have a God that loves us as much as he does. His desire is no less than we should be filled with all that he is. Ephesians 3:19 tells us, it's an amazing read where we're told that his desire is that we know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The immensity of what God has in store for his children is remarkable, and we are unable to understand what it truly means to be filled up like that. But being filled up like that is not done overnight. And it's not done without much effort and yielding on our part to mature into the man or woman that God would have us to be. With all the fullness of God. A few words on maturity. Maturity means growing, no matter what stage of life we find ourselves in. We can all grow. We can all mature from the point where we are right now. And I hope that's something that is not foreign to us, especially if we've been Christians for quite a period of time, for a long period of time, that we need to be able to say, there's much more for me to mature on in this life, in the spiritual life. In Luke chapter 5, as was so capably read a few moments ago, the passage which meant to teach Israel about needing Christ is also meant to teach us about ourselves, and it was given by our Lord so that we would ask a very important question. Luke chapter 5 teaching us a very important question. Am I willing to continually change? The Lord is discussing what it really means to yield to him, to whatever new truth it is I find out about God, that I am willing to take myself and to change. And yes, it's true. Israel needed to change, and that's why Jesus was saying that to those particular group of people for that aspect of it. But he was also meaning it for each and every one of us in the first century and in the 21st century to understand we have got to be open to what it is God has in store for us. Bringing to God a rigid mind that won't grow, won't think about applying his truths accurately with zeal is unacceptable to him. And if we are to pour out, if we were to pour our new ideas of Jesus, if Jesus were to fill himself up in us with his new ideas into a heart that was unwilling to yield, they would simply burst like the wineskins talked about. Or it would be like that shirt that had the patch put on it that tore. In order to hold on to what it is God has in store for us, we must be willing to yield. Jesus' ideas and where he plans to take us will challenge us. And if we allow it, it will mold us to be better and stronger. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us we have become a new creation. We are new creatures in Christ. Christ lives in each one of us. And once that dynamic process starts to take place, it is certainly a process that is going to continue the rest of our lives. It's not once and done. This is not merely changing with the times. That's not what I'm advocating. The Lord is not telling us, well, we just need to be able to be moldable to the times. Rather, what he's discussing is each individual Christian yielding to him for however long we have on this earth. And the growing process is not simply doing the same things over and over with greater intensity. That was the mistake of the Pharisees, wasn't it? That they took something that was right and good and started pressing it down and just making traditions and laws and thinking that they were doing something that was good for the Lord. And rather, the Lord is telling us that individually, what he wants us to do is to be serious about looking at our own lives and applying the gospel knife to whatever needs to be cut out, to plant and to water, to allow him to plant and to water those parts of our lives that need to grow. Kevin pointed out last week, there is no real growth without challenge and without striving for more than what we are today. A maturity that challenges us no matter where we are on the road of faith, whether we've been Christians 8 months or 80 years, our hearts and our understanding of God must change. And it's not because he changes. God is the same yesterday and today. No, but what's different is us. We should be molding ourselves and changing and developing as we learn more about God's truths. I don't mind telling you, when I first became a Christian, my understanding of God was this big, and I hope now it's at least this big. But the reason that it's this big is because I understand more and more all the time that what I don't know is a lot bigger than what I do know. And it is an increasing amount that I see about the Lord that is going to take me being willing to yield to understand more. This morning we're focusing on striving for maturity in the body of Christ. And in a few minutes, Morgan's going to be discussing a different section of this. But let's move forward. We're going to try to keep it to a normal half an hour or so, but we'd ask you to please bear with us if we go a little bit over. Well, there's going to be several passages and on to some specifics, but maturity in the body of Christ, maturity in the Traitor's Point local body is what we're discussing this morning. Faithful attendance and participation. Well, let's get into some specifics. Spiritual maturity includes faithfulness to each other. 1 Corinthians 12 could not be more clear about the importance and need of every member, how we are interdependent, if you will. We all serve a purpose. We all have a role in the local body, and we all must be busy about fulfilling that. Each member aiding his sister or his brother and becoming more like Christ. And in those verses, we would read of each of us having unique talents that we bring to the table and capabilities that would benefit each other. Spiritual maturity in the body does not equate simply to the fact that we showed up at a particular service or services over our lifetime. No, the question is, did we provide real energy or give real input to glorify God or build up my brother when I went to worship today? That's the question. So yes, being faithful in attendance is necessary. But yes, let us see that as that, and within this as a framework, the Lord has built the local body as a framework, if you will, an avenue, a way for us to come together to do two very important things. There's two things that he wants us to get accomplished. One, glorify him. We come together to glorify God and to worship God, not because he is clamoring for it. He wants it from us, but the reason that he wants it from us is because he wants us to want him. That's why. It's not for his ego. It's because he wants us to love him back. The second thing we're supposed to do while we're here is edify each other. Build each other up. Being busy about that process of building each other up. And doing these two things produces faithful participation. It's not just about faithful attendance. It's about faithful participation. It is very much our responsibility and opportunity to arrive here and bring to worship a prepared mind, a prepared heart, and yes, a prepared lesson that you spent time considering before you came. Regarding faithful attendance, let me make a couple of points of application, if I might. We ask people to be here on Sunday morning Sunday evening, Wednesday evenings, and every now and then some special events to glorify God and to edify each other. We are specifically having these lessons from the elders on Sunday morning because we know that while 80% or so of the people here right now will come back tonight, we know that 20% of you will not be coming back tonight. Because you chose to. You will choose not to come back tonight. You will choose not to come back on a Wednesday night. And it doesn't matter if it's Super Bowl Sunday. Doesn't matter. God's bigger than the Super Bowl. Some choose on Sundays to show up just in time for worship and skip class altogether. Some show up just in time for the Lord's Supper. Some choose to, for some reason, show up and sit in this auditorium and not go to a class. If you're here on Sunday mornings, please don't sit in this auditorium where there's no class. Please don't sit in here where there's no class. Please go to class. They're here for your benefit and for the opportunity that we have to strengthen and encourage one another. If you're thinking Sunday night services and classes aren't in the Bible, let me ask you this. What about anything in the New Testament makes you think God is interested in half measures? What about anything that you read in the New Testament makes you think God cares about half measures? Specifically, Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. But he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligence in seeking him is paramount. Why else would he have written in parables? He told us right before he starts explaining parables that the reason he does that is because there's effort in understanding them. There's effort in being a Christian. There's effort in knowing what God wants from us. Effort and maturity. And my question to you, if you don't want to show up to these events, is this. Do you really want to be discussing that with God on Judgment Day? Is that really a conversation that you want to have with the Lord? Well, I just, couldn't find it in the Bible. And to those brothers and sisters, the rest of us ask in a loving way, why don't you think we need you? We do need you. We want you. We love you. We need you here. We really do. Choosing simply to take off a service or habitually say, let's go worship. I tell you what, let's just go worship at the Church of Christ down the road habitually and over again. We are members at Traitor's Point Church of Christ. We are not members all over the place. There is no such thing as that. It is not found in the New Testament. It's a sinful idea to say otherwise. It's not in the New Testament. A quick note, too, on some outside activities. And I know some of this may have been touched on last week. You'll forgive me. I was out ill. It's not a good reason to continually miss services at Traitor's Point because you're on, or your children are on some travel team. And I know the world is screaming right now. Sports, soccer, basketball, they are screaming at us. And all those things are in and of themselves wonderful. You're looking at a guy that grew up learning a whole lot from sports. I got a lot out of them. But if we're missing services for those things, I want you to ask yourself a question. What are you teaching your children? You're teaching your children that that takes priority over worship of God. Frankly, if your job continually makes you miss services, it's time to look for a new job. The Lord will take care of us. We have some members that are habitually late while we're talking about attendance. We need to discuss this for a minute. We have some members that are habitually late. And let me acknowledge up front that 95% of the people here do so good with this. They It's not been so long ago that I've had little kids, and I understand what it means to put little kids together. My wife watching her struggle with breakfast and clothes and putting kids together and getting them here. We understand. We understand those things. And so many people do so well with that. But some choose to be habitually late. And yes, it's a disturbance when you do so. And the person who is habitually late is saying two things. The first thing they're saying is, my time is more important than your time. My time's more important than your time. If I've got to come in and cause people to sort of stop class a little bit and while I settle down and get put into place, then so be it. That's just the way that it is. Now, I'm not talking about the one-off situation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people that habitually are late. Please don't do that. The second thing that you're saying, though, if you're doing that, is that these rules don't apply to me. You know, they apply to everybody else. They apply to all of us. They apply to all of us. So, yes, faithful attendance coupled with participation is key. And if the elders have to call continually to get you to show up for worship service, something's wrong. You know, we call people after worship service that aren't here and we don't know why. If you're not here on Sunday morning, you're going to get a phone call. Many of you probably have. And it's done in a loving way. We try to do that as lovingly as we can, but I ask you, why are you not at worship if it's not for being sick or some other reason like that? It will stunt our spiritual growth. It will stunt our ability to mature. All right, let's move on. Sincere spirit and truth in worship. So I've got John 4 listed on the screen there. We know that story. It's the woman at the well, and Jesus, after a long conversation with her, we see that God wants his people to worship in a way that it is truthful and also with spirit. And in this, we confirm that we all need to grow just as she did. She grew from this episode with the Lord, right? Obviously, she did. She ran and told all her neighbors and friends about God. But our ideas must conform to whatever new truth it is we discover about God. And we must conquer any misgivings we have that we can bring a lifeless worship to God and call that in spirit. In spirit and truth certainly changed her. It molded her thinking. A few application points here. As we know that story, let's make some application points for us. It is a joyous but serious thing to come to the house of the Lord. When we come together to pray, to sing, to partake of the Lord's Supper, give, and to take words in from the Bible, a preacher, we must never bring a robotic attitude in here. Let's not bring a robotic attitude here that, well, we've been here before and we're doing it again. But one that is thoughtful and one that has meaning. And our membership generally does so well with this. You do so well with this. And you come together with the right attitude, but yet there are improvements that can be made. Let's be careful on the amount of coming and going that we have during worship service. And I understand sometimes things happen, right? Kids need to be taken care of. But let's be careful about the amount of coming and going. Let's try to take care of all of our needs before we walk in here. Let's do better about that so that we can all have a chance to worship without interruption. Something else we want to bring up is with the growth of online Bibles, there has become a new problem, and that is the temptation to text and surf the internet. We have people that text and surf the internet in class or in here. Maybe right now while I'm talking. A sentence I never thought I'd say. Please don't text. Please don't text in here. Please don't surf the internet in class. Please don't catch the score of the game. Please don't tell somebody what you think is real funny about something you see on the other side of the room. The most disheartening thing to a teacher is seeing someone texting or surfing the web, or passing notes. Of course, I guess that's old school, right? That's back in the 70s or 80s, back before phones. Let's please not do those things. And again, so many people are doing so well. But for those of us that need to change that, let's change that. Improvement, strengthening our talents. While Kevin dealt with maturity in the world, we also see the benefit of being strong in the word for the body of Christians at Traitor's Point. There's a benefit to all of us as a body because individually, we have become more mature. If we expect our teaching program to thrive and mature, it will only happen because our teachers have built their faith by taking in God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, we learn in Romans chapter 10. In addition to teaching, and it's not just teaching, right? We should expect ourselves to mature in all aspects of our public worship. Song leading, you can mature in song leading. You can mature in your prayers that you give publicly. You can mature in the way that you lead the Lord's table. All of these are areas where preparation ahead of time can help the group. And it's at this point I want to interject here. There's a troubling viewpoint that is happening not just in the world, but also within our own membership on certain levels, on certain afternoons, right? And that is this idea. There's a version of what sounds right based on this statement. Well, I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can. Okay. Well, if by that you mean you are pushing and growing in all areas of faith, stretching your mind and talents for the kingdom of God, then fine. But if by that what you really mean is, well, I'm happy with the way that I teach and I'm happy with the way things are. It doesn't matter if I really haven't put much effort into it. It doesn't matter if I'm really just sort of going through the motions again at the table or in my prayer. It doesn't really matter because I'm doing my best. If that's what you mean by that, then the elders disagree that that's your best. If by that you mean the way I lead songs is fine without ever pushing myself to set tempo, without ever trying to set a key, without ever trying to improve in any way, then the elders disagree. If by that you mean I can make myself the center of services by the way I lead a prayer, the table, anything else I say while I've got the microphone, then the elders disagree. The opportunity we've got in here is to worship God and to come together as a group to let God know we love him and to build each other up. The focus should be on improvement. Morgan, I'm sorry, I'm running into your time a little bit. I'll hurry. A few points for us to consider, though, as an application before we leave and go on to the next point. Let's turn to Luke chapter 13. Down in verse 6, and he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree, planted it in his vineyard, and he became seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not after that, you can cut it down. All right, a few points I want us to get out of this passage regarding maturity, please. First, let's note this. We're not going to be judged by appearances or mere activity, but by our fruitfulness. The characters in this are clearly the Lord wanting to cut down a tree. And I think we see Jesus saying to him here regarding Israel, let's keep at this and see what happens. But it's also true for us in this room that the Lord is expecting production out of each one of us, meaning maturity, meaning fruitfulness. Second, we can also learn in this that the fruitfulness expected is determined by the amount of investment in us. Let's pause for a minute and remember this. We are blessed in a way that I think it's hard for us to even really understand, that we can come here without fear, hold a Bible today, and talk about the Lord and not be taken to jail, not have retribution brought down upon us, not find out we don't have a job on Monday because we came in here and said what the Lord had to say from his words. That we have money, that we have resources, that most of us, we've got health, all in varying degrees. I understand all those things. But all these resources have been given to us. We must understand that the Lord expects fruitfulness from us. Third, we learn from God that he has his breaking point even for his own children. At some point, he's going to say, I'm not going to continue pouring resources into this situation. Enough is enough. And we've got to be careful that we don't ever put God in that position. By turning to him and even saying so politely regarding maturity, no, thank you. I like things the way they are in my life because it fits me to live this way. That's not going to work with the Lord. So a good question is, how does God look at the work at Traders Point? What's our grade on faithfulness? It's not going to be as a body, we're not judged as a body, but God's not going to say, well, look at the amount of money they've got in their treasury. Look how good they're doing. God's not going to look how good the preaching is over at Traders Point. That's not what the Lord's looking at. What the Lord is looking at is whether or not we are building each other up and we are producing Christians. We're not going to lose these kids. Moms and dads, we're not going to lose these 16, 17, 18-year-olds. We're not going to, no, that should be a zero-tolerance policy. It's not acceptable. It's unacceptable to have our children leave here and decide that they're not going to follow God. Now, I understand. It's not all up to you. I get that, and I sympathize with so many that have done so good, and yet sometimes their children just choose to do so. But let's do the best that we can, not just as parents, but as a body, to show our kids that God means what he says and that he loves us and he has grace for us, but he means both of those things equally true at the same time. Okay, practically speaking, let me give you a tool to look at. When it comes to improving our strengths and talents as a family, gentlemen, I'd ask you to lead your families. Get this opportunities to serve sheet out and look at it. And on the back, when you leave, there is a to-do list. This is the handle to this tool. This is the way you use it. Sit down with your family and come up with a plan of how you're going to get your family integrated into doing God's will. Okay. Hospitality. So many do so well at this, but what we would ask is that people think about serving God, and if you're not being hospitable, go ahead and start doing that. And if somebody hasn't asked you to go lunch, you ask them to go to lunch. We can tell you from experience, as a side note, that the closer knit we are as a group, the better the chance we have of keeping Satan away. Because we trust each other and we love each other. When camaraderie grows, Satan has less of a chance to divide us. Growing towards leadership. We've talked about individual growth, but for literally the next 20 seconds, what I want, 20 to 30 seconds, I want everybody to think about this, please. If you're young and you're studying and you're pushing yourself, you're doing exactly the right thing. But what we need you to consider is not just that you grow and mature individually, but that you think about how you fit into the leadership of the Traders Point Church of Christ in the future. How you can become a leader outside this building. And that's not just for the men. That's not just for the young boys. We can all be leaders for Christ in our communities in some way. We challenge you to think about these things, and we challenge you to think about what it really means to mature and to help the body of Christ.
Good morning again. And again, our apologies for running a little bit over this morning, but we felt like the things that need to be talked about were important, and that's actually why we split it up into two different times, so that we're not trying to cram everything into one Sunday evening as we have typically done. Before I get into the last point that we're going to talk about, which is maturity in the world, just a few nuts and bolts for us to talk about, because these are some things that it's easier to maybe get across in a group format like this. So first, just a few things on our finances. What we owe on the building is $948,000, and that's for this construction of this auditorium, as well as the repurposing of the old auditorium into classrooms. Right now in our banking, we have this amount in addition to a three-month working balance. We try to keep 3 months working balance in there at all times for things that arise. The reason we haven't paid that down yet is there were several unknowns going on, and we're kind of at a point where those are past now. So we'll be actually paying down that amount on the building very quickly here to try to bring that a little bit lower. We still have some other things that we do need to take care of as far as some things with the building, but most of that's going to start going towards paying down the building. And at the present time, preaching is 37% of our outflows, just so you have that amount. If you have other questions about that, members, please talk to one of the elders or Ed Hills, our treasurer. He works tirelessly on keeping up with that. That's a difficult job. He does a fantastic job with it. We're happy to share those things with you, but that's just a very brief summary. Whoops. Let me scroll through these again. Anyway, as far as our outside support, I wanted to talk about that. This didn't transition the way I anticipated. Sorry about that. Oh, well, it's not there. It's disappearing. Anyway, outside support. As I just said, we have 37% of our outflow goes to preaching. We're currently supporting Robert Pater in the Philippines, Ezekiel Akinyemi in Nigeria, Zerahun Kabidi in Ethiopia, and Humberto Gonzalez in Chicago, who's actually in a Hispanic community, Spanish-speaking community. So those are all men basically in foreign lands, and Chicago may not be a foreign land, but that part of it is to us. But we've mentioned to you before, there's a couple gentlemen, Josh Lewis, who's currently in Atlanta, and Joshua Carter, who is currently in Northport, Alabama, who will be moving this spring with their families to San Francisco. There's not a faithful church in San Francisco, and they're going to go there and start evangelizing, teaching, trying to convert people to the Lord. We're excited about that. And we've mentioned to you before that as a congregation, we're going to participate in that. We're going to be supporting each of those men up front here, $1,000 a month, and potentially increasing that further as we move down the road. But one of the things we want to do a little differently in our support is for us as a congregation to be involved. We've tried to stimulate that before, and I think, you know, it's been difficult to do because people are in different places. It's hard to get to know them. But what we're going to do off the bat here, these two gentlemen are going to be coming here March 3rd and 4th. March 4th is a Sunday, and they'll both be speaking to us that day. But it's a chance for us to get to know them and start to really participate in the work that they're doing there and get to know them on a personal basis. So mark your calendars. Please plan to be here that weekend. I don't know. We'll see if we can do something on Saturday for you to get to know them. But at least on Sunday, they'll be here to speak to you, one in the morning and one in the evening. And then finally on nuts and bolts, a calendar. This is actually, I've got it on paper, 8.5 by 11. I'm going to stick them in the thing in the hallway. If each family could just pick up one if you want it. We'll also be mailing this, emailing this out to you, and it'll also be on the website so you can access it in any way. I think you don't need to look at all the details on here. You can look at it on paper in a minute. The purpose is just to show you we have one. When you look at it, please don't ask the question, why have we not had this before? I don't know the answer to that. There's not a good answer. We should have. I looked at it, and that was my first thought. Why haven't we done this before? But I think you'll find it very helpful. And what we'll try to do this year is to get the one for 2019 out in the fall, so it's out ahead of time to help you with your planning. There are some dates that float a lot, and it makes it very difficult to get that done well in advance, but we'll try our best to do that. So I'll have those out in the hallway and then also email those to you this afternoon. So let's finish up with our last point now, maturity in the world. Again, I know we're running late. I also know that I tend to talk very fast. I will try to slow down so you can understand me, but when I feel a rush, I tend to even speed up more than I naturally speak, so I'll try to slow down. But let me start by saying I want to echo some things that the three men before me have said about this congregation. This is a fantastic group of people. I love Trader's Point. Whenever I travel, I brag about you a lot, about the kind of people you are. This is just a wonderful group of people. And I've mentioned this before, but, you know, my daughters are all off in a tropical foreign land. There's other places that would be a lot better for me from a job perspective. The Colts and the Hoosiers have not been good for a long time now. I really have no other reason to be here except for you all. And that's very true. I'm here, and I have no desire to leave here because of Trader's Point. This is a fantastic group of people. I love you all. And so, and I know Keith feels the same way. Keith just said some very strong things, but it comes out of his love for you all. And the same things with what I'm saying. You know, we didn't just pick the theme striving for maturity because it was a cool general theme to have. We didn't pick it because Kevin had this really cool slide background that shows the transition and growing. We picked it because we felt like there's some needs here. There's some needs for us to mature as a group, and that's why we're talking about the things that we are. So please take all of the things that have been said, the things that will be talked about throughout the year, and the spirit of love from which it comes. But let's talk about maturity in the world. I want to break this into two parts, and first I want to talk about the world's impact on us. If you want to read along with me, I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. It's a passage that you probably know. But there Peter writes, "Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong." You know, I think we're all too often, I know this is true for me and I'm sure it is for you, we're all too often intimidated by what those around us think. Not what they necessarily say or do, but just what they think and what we believe that they think. And we don't stand up for what's right, or we even go along with what's wrong and participate in that. And our society has gotten to a point that what is right and what is wrong is perverted. And we're expected to approve of evil doing and immorality and to say it's a good thing. We cannot let society and peer pressure determine our thinking. We cannot let society and peer pressure determine our actions. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness." And that's exactly where our society is at this point in time. We're being pushed to go along with that. We need to stand up and not do that, not call evil good and call good evil. We can't let society determine our thoughts and actions. Another passage up here is Ephesians 4 and 5. If you want to turn to that area, we're going to read some of that here in just a minute, starting in verse 17. But I would encourage you, maybe this afternoon or sometime early this week, to read Ephesians 4, 17 through 5, 21, in light of the things that we're talking about this morning. It has a lot to say about how we live in the world, and I would encourage you to read that entire text. But we're going to look at just a few excerpts now and then make some personal application. So starting in Ephesians 4, we're going to read 17 through 24 to start with. "So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." And then jump down to verse 29. "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of temptation." And then jump down to chapter 5. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." And then verse 11, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." And then finally jump down to verse 15. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." So let's make a few specific applications. There are many, many more to be made, so don't limit yourselves to things that we're going to talk about this morning, but just a few applications. First of all, maturity in the world will mean that we will make better decisions about our entertainment choices. Music, TV, movies, our use of the internet, we will not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Maturity in the world will also mean that we will make better decisions about social media. Obviously, what you post, who you're interacting with, what you're looking at, those things all say a lot about you, about what's really in your heart. You know, it's amazing to me, not just members of this congregation, but just in general, it's amazing to me how many people claim to be a Christian, but then if you look at their social media posts, the things that they're wearing in their pictures, the things that they're saying, the people that they're communicating with, tell a totally different story. It's amazing how often people tell on themselves with that. But even if you're in a private group where people don't see those things, it's what's real in your heart that's coming out there, and that's what's important. You need to mature. You need to realize that your heart is what needs to change so that those things aren't even coming out of you, no matter what kind of a group you're in, whether it's private or public. But not just what we do on social media, but how much time you're on social media. Consider this. If you're spending a lot of time on social media, you don't have the time to mature in these other areas that we're talking about. You only have 24 hours in a day. You only have a set amount of time. So use your time more wisely. Consider these thoughts. If you are spending a lot of time on social media, maybe you're too concerned with what everyone else thinks about you and trying to get them to view you in a certain way. If you're spending a lot of time on social media, you're probably not leaving yourself the time that you need to focus or the energy that you need to focus on developing real personal relationships. Consider that that's how Jesus taught. I've got to believe that there was media in that day. They didn't have the social media electronically that we have, but I've got to believe there was media then, just like there's always been in some format. Jesus might have used that in his teaching, but we're not told about that. But what we are told about is all of his personal relationships. He talked to people. The woman at the well that Keith mentioned in John chapter 4, he sat down and talked with her and had a conversation. Zacchaeus, and he went to his house and sat down with him and had a conversation in Luke 19. So maturity in the world is going to mean we're going to make better decisions about how we use social media. Again, there's a lot more applications we can make from this point, but with that, let's transition on to our impact on the world. So we'll think about the flip side of that. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Look at a passage there that we're probably all familiar with, starting in verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are to be the ones influencing the world for good. So maturity in the world means that we're going to be praying for and actively looking for opportunities to be that salt or that light. We're going to pray about it and we're going to look for it. Maturity in the world means that we're going to be actively looking for and taking advantage of opportunities to invite others to come and see, as Philip did with Nathanael in John 1, 45 through 46. Philip told him about Jesus. He said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, come and see. And I kind of like the phrase on here. That's kind of a little, it has a little ring to it to me. I know Jeremy will like this. Come and see at TP. Just remember that. Invite people. Come and see. Just talk to them about what's important to you and invite them. Come and see. Maturity in the world means, as 1 Peter 3:15, that we're going to be openly living and talking about our faith. If you look back at that passage we just read, verses 13 through 17, you know, we talk about verse 15 and we understand we're to be ready to give an answer to anybody who asks a reason of the hope that's within us. But look at the context. It's in the face of opposition. He's talking about people that are opposing you for doing what's right, who are persecuting you for doing what's right. And he says, be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks a reason. So what that means is that when we face that opposition, when we stand up and do what's right and we continue to live the right way, that's what's going to inspire other people to ask us about it. It may not happen when everything's going great, but when the world gets tough around us and we stand up for what's right, that's when people are going to start to ask. That means we're going to be, maturity in the world means we're going to be prepared to talk to the word, about the word to others. We're going to spend time and energy being prepared for that because we want those opportunities, and so we're going to be ready for them when they happen. We're going to be ready to have those conversations. So again, just a few specific applications. We specifically or intentionally made these talks last week and this week fairly generic because there's so many applications we could make. But we've also asked Jeremy and John throughout the course of this year to hit some of these things with specifics and talk about them more. And we'll be hitting these things more as we go throughout the year. So you're going to be hearing more about our maturity. But let's each take these things personally. Let's think about where we can mature in the Lord in each of these areas and in other areas as well, and where the specifics are for each of us, because they're going to be different for every one of us. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing an invitation song, and the purpose of that is to encourage anyone who needs to correct their relationship with the Lord to do that. It may be something you need to correct in your heart where you stand. It may be something publicly that you need help with. If you're not a Christian, you need to put on Christ in baptism and start your walk with him so that you can have your sins washed away. But whatever your need is, we invite you to come to the front or take care of those things where you are as we stand and as we sing.